Hey guys, it's Triptych. Four is on vacation right now, actually. Well, on a road trip. So, for this episode, it'll just be me, and we decided that it would be a cool idea to list off our individual top 10 horror movies. I didn't put these in any particular order, just kind of however they popped into my head. But I hope you guys like some of them. The list is mainly populated by Guillermo del Toro movies, I'll admit. He is my favorite director. And in honor of him, we're going to kick it off with my all-time favorite movie, regardless of genre, anything. Pan's Labyrinth. This is a Guillermo del Toro film that takes place in World War II Spain, which is in the middle of a civil war between Franco's dictatorship and the freedom fighters. And it's about a little girl named Ophelia and her pregnant mother, who just married a captain working in Franco's army. They move out to this old mill house, and this little girl, who's obsessed with fairy tales, starts seeing signs of a real-life fairy tale, and they meet a faun who tells her that she's a reincarnated princess, but she has to complete 3 tasks before the next full moon to prove that her soul had not been turned mortal. It's very dark fantasy, if I had to describe it. A lot of people don't even list it as horror. I think it is, because I think some of the creatures you see in that movie are absolutely terrifying. So I'm gonna call it horror. It's my favorite because, believe it or not, it's the first movie to make me cry. It's very, very rare I cry after a movie, but the first time I saw that, I bawled. Ophelia is such a relatable, likable character, and her stepfather, the captain, is such an easily hated character. And Guillermo del Toro does this amazing thing in his movies, and I don't know how he does it, but he really somehow manages to connect you to the characters, so much so that their emotional turmoil becomes your own. And I think that emotional connection is what makes that film so captivating. It makes any of his films so captivating. And I really love the metaphor of the creature in the movie, The Pale Man. This episode's gonna have spoilers for each of these movies I list, so that I can actually really talk about them. There's a creature in this movie called the Pale Man, and Guillermo del Toro has actually spoken out about it representing, you know, the epitome of greed. A white man. Gotta hate them. And that's why he has this table of food in front of him, that if anyone takes even the smallest amount off of this table, this huge feast he has laying in front of him, he eats them. His eyes are located in the palms of his hands instead of on his face, and he's this gaunt, emaciated figure. Despite this huge feast in front of him, it's not enough. And I think a lot of the symbolism in the movie, as per, like, the creatures that show up, is just absolutely genius. I've watched that movie so many times, and every single time I pick up on new things that I hadn't noticed before. There are 2 ways you can watch the movie. You can watch it assuming that the fairy tale is real, which is how I watched it when I first saw it as a kid. Or you can watch it assuming that it's really just all make-believe. It's all in her head, like her mother believes. Which is arguably a much, much sadder movie when you watch it that way. Even the characters that weren't focused on all the time, like Mercedes and the doctor, were still so emotionally captivating and so interesting as individuals that when the story veered off to tell a little bit more of their storyline, you didn't mind in the least. Every single second of that movie has you hanging on the edge of your seat. And that's what I love about that movie. all the way up until the end. And the end will make you cry every time you watch it. It's a gorgeous film. And it's... I don't even know how to put into words how much I love that movie. Everything about it. The special effects are insane. The amount of makeup and cosmetics that they had to use to create those characters is impressive in every single way. And how good it looked in the film and how much it really lent itself to your immersion. Like, I saw that fawn and I saw the bark on his legs and how old he looks. And I really truly believe that this was a centuries old creature that I had never seen before. The acting in it is phenomenal. Everything about that movie. I can't find a single flaw with it, except for the fact that it's so damn sad. Such a good movie. The next one I'm gonna talk about is another Guillermo del Toro movie, The Orphanage. This one is straight horror. It's about a family that moves into an old, abandoned orphanage because the mother had grown up there and wanted to take over the business and open it as a special needs orphanage. But her son goes missing, and she starts to believe that it's the work of a child who went missing from the orphanage when she was younger. This movie offered me the biggest shock I have ever felt from a movie. I saw that ending and it blew me away. That image of her son's body just laying there, lifeless on the floor, backlit against the stairs, is just haunting. It sticks with you. It's terrifying. And like with most Guillermo del Toro movies, it's an extremely emotional roller coaster. And I love the little bits and pieces that they put into that movie. The small hints and how you can watch it again and actually see exactly what's really going on. And how even when you do know what's going on, it's still scary because you're just horrified at the fact that this mother hasn't figured it out. There is no horror movie that has stuck in my mind as The Orphanage has. It, even before you realize what's going on, it's still scary. The ghosts are still very convincing, and I love the way that they use the ghosts to help tell the story without making them the villain or making them something that would hurt them. If anything, the ghosts were trying to help, and I think that's the saddest part. And it's classic Guillermo del Toro, likable villains, lovable characters, relatable characters that you really put yourself in their shoes. You really go through this movie watching it as if you're there with them. And that's one of the things that made The Orphanage so scary, is that when that ending is revealed, you almost have this instinctual response of, oh my god, if only I had figured it out sooner. Even though that wouldn't actually have changed anything except maybe your enjoyment of the film. It's an absolute ride from beginning to end, and watching all the little pieces come together is just satisfying. The last one I have on my list that's by Guillermo del Toro is Mama. Now, I went to see that movie in theaters when it first came out, and let me tell you, I was enraptured. Mama is the story of two little girls who are discovered living feral in an empty house in the woods. They get taken in by their uncle and his girlfriend, and that's when people start to discover that something is not right. And essentially they figure out that something else has come in with the girls. An entity that they call Mama. And that movie's visual effects and jump scares are just through the roof. I'm not usually into jump scary movies, but this movie did it right. This movie actually scared me. And Mama is terrifying to look at. Like, she's shown on screen for maybe a grand total of 3 or 4 minutes of the movie. But, like, for those 3 or 4 minutes, I was gripped by fear. I don't know how those girls ever trusted her. She terrified me. Yet again, super heartfelt movie. Really emotional, and it's very, very satisfying as the viewer to watch these two girls who had been abandoned in the woods actually develop a stable relationship with this couple that didn't really know that they needed these kids in their life. To watch them grow and bond and develop an actual family is just wonderful, especially towards the end. But the fact that Mama got to keep the little girl, one of the little girls at the end, fucking evil. Why would you do that to me? Why would you make me cry like that? I don't get it. Why must you doom this little girl? Guillermo del Toro, why are you always making me cry? Other than how scary I personally find the villain to be, and how much I just love the characters, they're very unique, and they have very strong personalities, and I really like that about them. Other than that, it's not really anything special as far as plot goes. There's no huge twist or insane ending. It's more emotionally driven than anything else, but man, it is still scary as hell. I love it. I've seen it like 3 times now, and every single time it scares me. It will never not scare me. And that's what I look for in a film. Next one I have on my list is Before I Wake. It's the story of a little boy who's been going between foster homes for most of his life. And he gets adopted into this family. And he's a wonderful little boy. He's smart, he's cute, he's nice, he's quiet. I love that boy like a son. He is adorable. And he moves in with his family, and everything looks like it's going good. Until the family realizes that when the boy falls asleep, his dreams become real for the people around him. And that can be a beautiful thing, like the wonderful Christmas lights scene, or the butterflies that show up the first time it happens. But it also means his nightmares come to life. I highly recommend this movie. It is an emotional roller coaster to watch this child blame himself for something he can't help, and to find out the source of his nightmares. His main nightmare is about a man that he calls the Canker Man. The Canker Man ate his mom in his mind. That's how he ended up in foster care. And to see the mother fit all the pieces together to find out why the kid is having these nightmares and how to help him stop it, you don't see any of them fit together until the last minute. And when you're watching it, when you're listening to her put it together for him, you're sitting there and you're like, oh my god, why didn't I figure that out? Not to mention, the movie's scary as shit. The Canker Man? Terrifying. I hate that thing. It's creepy as hell. And he does that awful thing that I hate in horror movies that scares the shit out of me, where they, like, pause for a second, and then they just run at the camera. I hate it. It fills me with such intense dread and panic. It's such a well-crafted movie. It's really cool to watch this mother go through what she's going through with having her son die a few years earlier, and to watch this little boy try to build a family again. It's such an emotionally moving movie, and it's so well written. The characters are so interesting and dynamic and well developed. And it's scary. It's a scary fucking movie. I mean, it might not scare you like how Final Destination would scare you with the jump scares and the gore, but the concept is terrifying. The concept of somebody's nightmares coming to life and killing people without beyond their control, it fills me with such a sense of dread, especially because I had so many nightmares when I was his age. I would have them like 4, 5, 6 times a week. And the idea of my nightmares having come to life as a kid, oh my god, that would be so bad. So many people would be dead. So many people. I highly recommend you check it out. It is one of, if not the only one of these movies on Netflix, so it's gonna be the easiest to watch. That actor has actually played a little boy in quite a few different horror movies, so like he really knows how to play the role, and it's insane to see how convincing this kid is. You really think that he has no idea what's going on. It's an amazing movie. Check it out. Next one I'm going to talk about, Four and I saw last year actually in theaters, which, my opinion, the best place to see this movie. A Quiet Place. Now, I know that this was, like, critically acclaimed and shit. It's one of the few critically acclaimed movies where I fully agree with all of the hype. That movie deserved every bit of hype it got. A Quiet Place is about a, in case you don't know about it, in case you didn't see the trailers, it's about a family living in a post-apocalyptic world populated by creatures who hunt using sound. So the family has to stay as quiet as possible or they'll be hunted down. It mainly follows the daughter of the family, who's deaf. So while she brings a lot of advantage to the family in sense of being able to communicate without making sound through sign language, they wouldn't have known that otherwise. But it also creates issues of her not being able to tell when she's making noise, which is very dangerous in this. Now, I cannot even put into words how genius of an idea using sound was in this movie, especially the use of the surround sound in theaters. I was terrified to make noise for a good, like, 10 minutes after the film ended. The sound production did such amazing work on that movie. The acting is phenomenal. The screenwriting is phenomenal. The creatures are terrifying. Everything about that movie is just amazing, except for the fact that the dad died. I hated that. He deserved better. He was a good father. Good fathers always deserve better. You so rarely see them in horror movies. That movie, it sticks with you. And they did such a great job with the premise of it. You see a lot of movies that have really, really interesting concepts and just didn't execute them right. And this is one example of a film that did execute it right. There is no possible way they could have done it any better. I have zero critiques for this movie. It was just amazing in every single sense. I could go on for a half an hour talking about just how amazing I think this movie is. You need to see it. And I love that in that movie, especially with the little girl, despite the fact that there wasn't a whole bunch of communication or talking going on in the film, they still each managed to develop their own personalities, as far as each character being different and having their own preferences and their own quirks and habits. And I really liked that. It's insanely hard to do in a movie that has such little dialogue, but they really managed to pull it off. And I have no idea how, considering a lot of people can't even seem to pull it off with a regular horror movie. I'm looking at your remakes. It's a fantastic movie. It was, in my opinion, one of the most original and good movies to come out in the last decade. There has never been a concept done like that. It made creature features scary again to us. Like, we've had a very, very dumbed down culture of not being scared of, like, werewolves and vampires and stuff anymore, but these creatures scared us. And that is what I want out of a creature feature, and that is what they delivered. And I love it. It's amazing. The next one is a little bit more of a personal favorite of mine, the original Stephen King's It. Now, this was the first horror movie I had ever seen. I watched it when I was maybe 10, and I fell in love with the genre instantly. I remember showing it to 4 shortly after. 4 has a crippling fear of clowns. They got maybe like 10 minutes into the movie. They didn't even get to watch Georgie die before they were like, no, I'm leaving. You have to turn it off right now or I will leave. In case you've been living under a rock for the last 4 decades, It is about a group of kids who discover that kids in their town have started to go missing and put together a pattern that this happens every 27 years. And they start seeing these vivid, I imagine they would consider them at the time, hallucinations of a clown and werewolf and blood everywhere. And as the movie goes on, they realize that it's a creature that's been hunting and feeding off children for immortality. That shows up mainly in the form of Pennywise the Clown, but also can take many other forms. And these kids also realize that the adults in the town cannot see it. They cannot see the blood that's showing up, they can't see the creatures, they just know that the kids have gone missing. And honestly, the original film really makes it sound as if the town's in on it. And maybe that's just me. And they go down into the sewers where it's hiding, and they think they defeat it, and they make a pact as kids that in case they didn't kill it in 27 years, they'd come back and make sure. And it fast forwards to 27 years later, and it is back. They didn't kill it. None of them have any memory of it, except for the one who stayed in the town of Derry. All the rest of them that moved away completely forgot about it. Until the one from Derry called them up and said, hey, it's back. And they all come together and they try to defeat it. It stars one of my favorite all-time actors, Tim Curry, as Pennywise the Clown. Tim Curry's been in like all of my favorite older movies, and even some of my favorite newer movies. I think he is a phenomenal actor, and I think he did such a great job in making Pennywise creepy, while still keeping him very sarcastically clownish. Like, he makes knock-knock jokes, he still makes bad puns, and he still has that awful clown laugh. But he's also absolutely terrifying and completely and utterly threatening at the same time. And that's something that I don't think the new It did a very good job in. At all. Like, at all. It was one of the only critiques that I could have for the new It. But that movie, I loved it. I loved the story, I loved the characters, I loved Tim Curry, I loved the original book, which I read after I saw the movie, like immediately after, because I was like, holy shit, I gotta know what this is going on. And there's something about Stephen King movies and books. They have a very, very specific vibe that's super different from a lot of other horror. It's less jump scare scary and more ominous and dreadful. It's more supposed to give you anxiety and a feeling of dread than it is supposed to scare you. I would not call the movie scary, per se. There's some scary moments. There's some moments where they're like, oh my god, what the fuck? But for the most part, not really a scary movie. Just an ultimate classic. And so well done. And I am looking forward to It Chapter 2, which is coming out soon. But I highly doubt it'll live up to the original in my mind. Nothing will beat it. It will always be the first movie I ever saw that made me fall in love with this genre. And it will always epitomize everything I love about this genre. It's got amazing characters, a terrifying but still very almost but not quite human villain. And it's also a creature feature. And it's got amazing emotional relationships going on in between, and such creativity in creating the character and the plot line of what's going on, while also being a very, very awesome social commentary on how kids aren't taken seriously and how that mentality can really hurt people. I just think it's all around a great film. And I really like Billy. He thrusts his fists against the post and still insists he sees the ghost. And I remember when I was doing exercises to try to get rid of my stutter, I would always do that one with him. It really made an impression on me as a kid. And I will always love that movie. The next one I have is a little bit more comedy, believe it or not, despite how much I don't really care for comedy. Cabin in the Woods, 2012 version. The story it follows is a pretty typical premise. A bunch of kids go out to a cabin in the woods for a vacation and there's a monster lurking. But watching the movie is a completely different experience because you've got this alternate side story going on of these, what you can only assume are government workers, whom are controlling everything that's happening in this cabin. Instead of it just being some crazy set of coincidences that the car broke down and all that, it's very carefully controlled. And I think that that concept is so clever. And I absolutely love in the movie that they pick what monster attacks them. I'm not exactly sure what about it I like so much. I just really like it. I think it's a cool idea. And I love that the characters were supposed to fit into these stereotypes, and they just so didn't. Like, they had all the typical stereotypes, you know, the young, dumb, slutty blonde who was only a little bit slutty and was incredibly smart that they had to dumb down to fit the role. And the virgin who's not quite a virgin, and the stoner who's not as paranoid or out of it as anybody thinks he is. I loved it all. And I loved the stoner comedy that came out of it as a stoner myself. I loved his character. I thought he was so funny and so smart and such an accurate representation of stoners everywhere. For once. I loved that movie. I thought it was so clever. I thought the ending was super clever. The characters I absolutely loved. Everything about that movie did it right, and it was one of the only horror comedy movies I've seen that I actually really enjoyed. Like, I thought it was funny, and I thought it was scary, and a lot of horror comedy can't do that. It's one or the other, usually neither. It's just such an interesting movie, especially conceptually speaking. And I especially loved the little touches to the genre that they added, like the monsters from different movies, like the knockoff of Pinhead from Hellraiser, and I just think, and all the different creatures they had creatures that I don't think I've ever seen before in any movie. Like, it was so creative how it told these two intertwining stories at once, while making fun of the genre, while also fitting into the genre. It did everything that I loved about Scream, where it's supposed to make fun of the stereotypes and the tropes of the genre, but it's also still supposed to be a very obvious love letter to the genre. It's not making fun of these tropes and saying, haha, this genre's so stupid, everyone knows what's gonna happen. It's making fun of these tropes and it's saying, these things are ridiculous and stupid, but they're the exact reason we love this genre so much. And I love that. I love everything about it. Great movie. Especially the stoner. His collapsible bong coffee mug thing that he uses as a weapon halfway through the film. Dude, I want that thing so bad. I need to find that somewhere. If any of y'all know where I can find that thing, link me. I want it so bad. From the moment I saw it, I was like, that's what I need in my life. The next movie I have to talk about is a personal favorite of mine, and it's a little bit different than the rest of the movies on this list. I tend to be a very big fan of psychological horror, things that have a lot of twists and turns, and things that make you think. This movie's a little more of a gore fest, The Descent. The Descent follows the story of a group of women going cave diving, and it's about a year after one of them lost her child, and they're hoping that this outing will help make her help cheer her up a little bit more. They go down into the cave system thinking that it's just an easy little cave for beginners, just to, you know, get back into the habit of it. But little do most of them know, one of the characters lied about that. She said it was a touristy type cave, when in all actuality, it was an undiscovered system. And while they're down there, the path that they came in from collapses, and they get trapped down there. And very quickly after they get trapped down there, they realize that they are not the only thing down there. There are these strange humanoid creatures that have evolved to live down there, and they start hunting these characters down. What I loved so much about this movie, first of all, the gore was satisfying. It wasn't a gore fest like Hellraiser is, where it's like ridiculous and over the top and you can't take it seriously, but there was still enough gore for it to be like, oh god, that's gory. The creatures were terrifying, both in how they looked and in how they acted, and the feeling of inevitability throughout most of the film. You know that these characters aren't going to find a way out. It's a pretty hopeless cause. And to see the way these characters just immediately start fighting in on each other, you know it's not going to happen. But what I love the most about the film was the ending. That ending is the only it's a dream type sequence that has ever actually fooled me. Every single time I watch that movie, I watch that fake ending, and I sit there and I'm like, I don't remember it ending this way. What's going on? And then it cuts to the fact that it was all in her head, and you're like, and every single time I'm like, fuck, I forgot about that. It always gets me. And I love the open ending to it, how it's pretty clear how the movie was gonna end, her blowing out her own torch. It was a pretty obvious sign that she was gonna die. Obviously, because there's a sequel, she didn't. But it seems as though the original film was very much leaning towards the fact that she did. I'm such a fan of creature features, man. I love them. And there's nothing even all that special about this movie. The characters aren't really anything interesting. Most of them are just stereotypes. But there's just something about them that I really like. And there's something about that movie that I really like. It's one of those movies that I can always be down to watch. Like, I'll watch it when I'm in the mood for something scary. I'll watch it when I just want background noise. I'll watch it when I'm trying to show one of my friends horror recommendations. I'll watch it pretty much any time. And I'll be interested in it the entire movie. That movie never leaves my interest. And I don't know how they do it. But no matter how many times I've seen it, it's still captivating to watch. I still want to sit there and see how it plays out, even though I already know. And I think that's what made that movie good. because there wasn't a lot of anything, there wasn't anything special about it other than that. I just really liked it. You should check it out, especially if you like gore and blood. The sequel was okay. It brought a very nice sense of closure to the movie, but it could have been better. And I don't like the fact that they changed the characters, they changed the special effects. Didn't like it. They were still scary, just not as scary in my opinion. We are almost done here, folks. Don't worry. I know that y'all are probably fucking sick of my voice by now. God knows I am. The next movie I have was on Netflix. They took it off for some goddamn reason. The Boy. The Boy is a terrifying concept. Essentially, the story goes that it's a girl who gets paid to babysit a boy, and when she shows up, the boy turns out to be a doll. But the parents are very insistent that the doll needs to be treated like a boy. And as the movie progresses, the weird things start happening in the house, like supernatural type things. The movie very much sets itself up to sound like it's a ghost movie. And that's where it does the best work. You spend the entire movie waiting for the ghost to appear, only to find out at the end, in a huge plot twist, that it isn't a ghost. It's just a fully grown man living in the fucking walls, watching her every move. God, that's terrifying. That's so awful. I hate the idea of being watched and not knowing that I'm being watched, and I hate the idea of this man thinking that he is an extension of the doll and not a fully grown man. And also, the fact that the parents just fucking left her there with them and then killed themselves? Rude. Rude. You should have just killed yourselves in your own home. Why drag somebody else into this? It's not her fault. It's not her fault you raised a fucking crazy person. Put him out of his misery. That movie scared the shit out of me. That's the main reason it's on this list. I didn't see the plot twist coming at all, and it scared the shit out of me. Characters aren't anything that super interesting. I really liked the delivery boy. I thought he was cute. Other than that, nothing really interesting or special. It's just that plot is insane, and that ending is so scary and terrifying. And it's one of those things where it feels realistic. It feels like that could totally happen. And I'm so glad that I watched it while I was living in an apartment building, because I'm much less scared of someone living in the walls of an apartment building than I am my own house. At least if it's in an apartment building, they're not watching me in particular, they're watching everyone. That movie is so fucking scary. Watch it. It'll freak you out. And last but not least, as we round out this final hour of me yabbering on about movies, Identity. Now this is a movie that Four and I watched a while back, so it's not super fresh in my mind, you'll have to forgive me. The movie goes like this. There are 10 strangers who get stranded at a motel in the middle of Vegas due to a storm. And as the plot goes on, they realize that there is a murderer among them, and they have to figure out who it is. Now, this sounds like a pretty basic, you know, mystery movie, but it's anything but. Towards the end, you find out that these are not 10 individual people in a motel. These are 10 personalities of one person. One of the personalities is a murderer who is on trial, and basically the doctors made an agreement with this patient that if his personalities could find out who did the murder and get rid of that personality, it would take him off death row. It's a crazy movie, especially because you don't really know what's happening. You don't know that this is in someone's head until the last, like, half an hour. You spend the entire time trying to guess who the killer is, and you don't even question anything else about the film. The strange coincidences that go on the entire time. And you also rarely ever guess who the killer is, right? Most movies do that pretty well. It's one of those, if you went in trying to figure it out, you'd probably have guessed it. If I remember correctly, Four and I both did. But it's still a shock when it gets revealed, even if you thought you were right. The personalities are really interesting, and it's very interesting to watch them put together why they're there. Like, for example, they find out that all of them have the same birthday. And they start to wonder why these little coincidences seem to be adding up. Newsflash, it's because it's in your head. God, the amount of things that could have been explained if you had known the ending first, I can't even imagine. Definitely watch it. It's a great film. It's amazing, and I am going to round out my list with that. So, that's my list, guys. In case any of you want to add them to yours, that was Pan's Labyrinth, The Orphanage, Before I Wake, A Quiet Place, Stephen King's It, Mama, Cabin in the Woods, The Descent, The Boy, and Identity. Check them all out. I highly recommend every single one of them. Tune in next week to hear Four's Top 10. That'll be it for today, y'all. See ya.
I don't know, do we have an outro for this?
Yeet.